Well, welcome to Tech Talk Cafe right here on Chai FM. As usual, I try to find interesting people with interesting stories to talk to. And joining me, obviously not in the studio, because I'm not even in the studio these days, is Lance Dickerson. He is the MD of Rebov Limited. Now, the name hints at what he does, but it's not entirely clear. But basically, welcome to the show, Lance. And you've got a really interesting story about batteries. Now, not the type that go to various little gizmos and gadgets, but big stuff to do with power. Tell us a little bit about what you guys do.
Thank you, Stephen, and good morning to your listeners, and thank you very much for having me. Rebov is a company which we started in 2016, and our focus was to find affordable battery solutions for both the residential and the light commercial markets in South Africa that would help what we saw as a deteriorating power system, which was starting to affect the economy, which was starting to affect the way that people worked. We very quickly, having worked in different countries in Africa, very quickly recognized the downward trajectory. And we also knew that the technologies out there were not suitable. There was nothing really that was available that would not degrade over a short period of time, that could compete and actually be cheap over a 10-year period with traditional storage means, that was an alternative to fossil fuel sources, like generators, etc. And the only real, alternative was lithium-ion batteries. And lithium-ion batteries at that time were simply not affordable.
That has changed pretty dramatically over the last couple of years.
Massively, and the prices continue to come down. The nice thing about where we sit in this chain is that as long as the price of manufacture of brand new lithium batteries comes down, our prices get pushed down at the same time.
So specifically, you guys don't do brand new batteries. That I think we can get out of the way right up front.
Correct. We have got a very small range of brand new batteries which we bring in specifically for applications which a second life battery may not be suitable for, and that is because a brand new battery is a slightly lighter, slightly smaller, and so they do have an application.
Okay.
However, more than 80% of our current market is taken up by second life batteries. The second life term is something that people don't necessarily know. If you go and Google second life, you'll come across a video game actually, which is essentially a second life, living as a second life online. But second life describes the repurposing of an electric vehicle lithium battery, and putting it into what we call stationary storage. Now, the battery comes out of a vehicle which is 100% electric vehicle. So it's either a plug-in electric vehicle, well, it's a full plug-in electric vehicle. It is not a hybrid vehicle. So these vehicles generally get charged once during the day or at night, and then they get used during the day as a taxi or a bus or a truck, and at night they go back to a depot somewhere and they get recharged. So they essentially do a cycle a day. And within about 1,500 to 1,800 cycles, the battery begins to get to a point where it cannot deliver the energy required of the vehicle. It's essentially a little bit too heavy for the vehicle. The performance of the vehicle degrades, and so they get to a position where the battery needs to be replaced in the vehicle. At that point, those batteries have usually done about 1,800 cycles. And they still have 4,000 to 5,000 cycles of life left in them.
And just to clarify, you're getting there. What is a cycle?
Okay. When we say a cycle is one full charge and one full discharge of the battery. So that is one full cycle. So at that point, because the battery is too heavy, it is taken out, it's replaced with a brand new battery. The battery still has a very good life. And one of the most important things is, when we take that battery out of the vehicle, we can see the history of that vehicle. We can see where the battery has been, what it's been through, how many times it's been charged and discharged, the environmental temperatures, the ambient temperatures, the temperatures of the cells, the We can see everything about the battery. And we then are able to cherry pick the batteries that are still good, and we take them, and then they go, they'll then run through a testing procedure to ensure that they're right. And this is all done in China. So we have an interest in a factory in China. And this is what we do in China. We actually repackage these batteries into a suitable format and size for the domestic market, domestic and light commercial market in South Africa. Some of the key things as well is that the battery that has been removed from this vehicle is about a third of the weight of the traditional solutions. That have been
lithium ion batteries generally are much lighter than the old lead acid style battery.
Correct. A brand new lithium battery is about a quarter of the weight. Bear in mind that the batteries that we're talking about were manufactured in years, you know, in years gone by, so it's not the latest. Exactly. So they're slightly larger, they're slightly heavier than the brand new ones, and that's why there is still a market for the brand new battery in the country. But the most important thing is that very, very little needs to be added to the battery to ensure that it's right for storage purposes. So the carbon footprint is, we can never say negligible because it isn't, it still gets on a ship and comes across the sea from China. But the comparative carbon footprint of a second life battery versus a new battery, which was manufactured for storage purposes, is massively different, massively different.
And the main use, I mean, obviously, it's fairly obvious what you're going to use these things for, but essentially, these are all designed to be placed into some form of storage mechanism for a home and a business, using an inverter, using some form of solar panels or charger. Is that where the vast majority of these cells land up?
Correct, correct. So we package them into what we have determined to be the sort of convenient sizes, which will be a 5 kilowatt hour unit and a 10 kilowatt hour unit. And these are all upgradable to larger. Now, I don't want to get into the kilowatt hours.
So you can just piggy bank them as many as you need.
Correct, correct. And there's no limitation as to the number that you can put together. Practically, it becomes a limitation because of the number of cables, et cetera, et cetera. But the average household needs about 10 kilowatt hours or so if you're running only critical loads. So you're not running stoves, you're not running geysers, that sort of stuff. To run your average home, 3-bedroom house, for 4 hours during load shedding, you need a battery bank of about 10 kilowatt hours. And that is really our middle of the range where we go. So you put the battery in, you add an inverter to it, you can decide whether you only want to charge it using the grid, or you want to add solar or wind to it as well, you could add to it. And that provides you with the charging power and, of course, can reduce the charging time in between outages, etc. And that kind of package is perfectly suited to the average home and also perfectly suited to the average business. So the small businesses within large shopping centers where they perhaps don't have access to the backup generator within the shopping center, this is a perfect, perfect model. And we actually provide a rental model for those guys as well.
That's clever. How physically big is a 10 kilowatt battery stack, for want of a better term?
Best way for me to tell you is think about your bar fridge, which fits under your counter, maybe your washing machine. That's the size. So
it's very domestically acceptable.
Correct. About 600 by 600 and about 800 high. That gives you 10 kilowatt hours of battery backup. And then there's the ancillary equipment, which isn't included.
And this being a pre-used battery, how long would these last in the normal sort of home environment or in a backup battery type setup? So what does the average guy get out of it?
So if you don't mind, just to sketch a little bit of a background, the automotive battery cells which we use are different to storage cells. So they're manufactured for an automotive environment. They're not manufactured for a storage environment.
Okay.
And an automotive environment is a far harsher environment than anything. They have to be withstand, you know, they've got to be able to be bounced around. They've got to be able to withstand high temperatures, high charge and discharge rates, etc., etc. So the quality of that cell when it comes out of the car is at least equivalent to a brand new storage cell's quality.
Specifically designed for storage cell, new battery.
Correct. So we warrant these for 3,500 cycles or 10 years at a cycle a day. So in a typical environment, you've got some solar, you use the batteries at night, you charge them up during the day using solar in the grid, and at night it powers your home. Once the sun goes down, that equates to a cycle a day, and that translates to roughly 10 years of usable life. We warrant it for that period of time, but the expected life is about 4,000 to 5,000 cycles, so it'll add another 3 to 4 years on top of that of expected life. What must be noted is that with lithium ion, that's not the end of the life of the battery. All it means is that battery has now reached 60% of its original capacity.
And so most if you're people willing will to recognize live, that from their cell phones. All of a sudden, the battery's at 60%, so only get half a day instead of a full day.
Absolutely, absolutely. The battery is still perfectly usable, and it can be adapted for further years into suitable environments where the load is lower, the backup time is short, or the backup required time is shorter. There's specific applications where those things could be used in. So even at 10 years from today, that is still not the end of the life of a second life battery.
So you could theoretically add a new fresh pack to the existing pack and just extend the amount of charge you've got or the time that you can draw from your battery pack. There's more to it than that, but essentially you need these things can give you easily. I think that's the answer. You can get a good 10 years worth of battery backup without any memory effects or any degradation within that sort of 10-year window. If you get more, great. If you don't, well, I think 10 years is a good life for anything in this type of environment.
Correct. And when you pair the value and the pricing point of a second life battery, it very easily starts to fit into what is currently about a 5-6, perhaps at a stretch, a 7-year payback period. Of course, everybody's looking for the 2-3 year payback period. That will come. That will come in a couple of years with the pressure of the market and the pricing will come
around that. What would a new set of batteries, a 10-year warrant certified 10 kilowatt battery pack cost versus and could you also give us some insight into what's available in the market? You know, people buy backup batteries and they often not lithium because lithium is much more expensive. Give us a little insight. So if someone's thinking about doing this, how should they approach it and on what basis?
Well, the first thing to do is to look at what are you looking for in terms of a battery? Are you looking to use a battery simply for backup that's going to stand there for 6 months and kick in one day for a couple of hours and then stand for another 6 months? Or are you looking for something that you want to cycle on a regular basis? And I think what's happening here is we've been forced to cycle on a regular basis, whether we like it or not. But what we need to look at is, do you want a battery as well that is going to last a long period of time? Are you willing to pay less for a battery and replace it in a year's time and over a 10-year period, possibly replace it 4 or 5 times over a 10-year period, or do you want to pay once? The difference between the cost of a second life battery and a brand new battery is 30% to 35% from a lithium point of view.
So it's significant.
Correct. When you compare a second life battery with some of the, and I don't want to, I mean, with some of the older technologies, the gel, the AGM, the lead acid type of technologies and chemistries, the pricing per usable kilowatt hour is very similar. And you mentioned earlier talking about memory effects and things. AGM and lead acid batteries cannot be discharged down to 100%. So you cannot use the full capacity of the battery. You can only use half of it safely. So when we talk about usable capacity, if I've got 100 of lead acid and I need 100 or I want to put in the equivalent to 100 of lead acid, I only need 50 of lithium ion.
Okay, so there's a cost implication in that as well.
Correct. And so when you compare that, a second life battery is very similar in cost to a brand new lead acid setup.
And then you theoretically save 50% because of its usability.
No. When you take that 50% into consideration.
That's all taken into account. So if you need a 10 kilowatt lithium ion, you'd probably need to buy a 20 kilowatt lead or gel battery, and the costs of the two would be very similar in terms of correct. Overall cost.
But the life expectancy on the lithium battery is 10 years plus, and the life expectancy on the lead acid is, and I'm going to be kind and say 3 years at a stretch. And I don't want to get into the, you know, trying to tell, no, you know, run down other people, but that's, you know, it is, that's what it is.
Well, a perfect example is I've got a UPS that every 3 years needs new batteries. So, and they are older technology batteries. They do the job, but yeah, that's exactly the situation. So how would people get hold of these batteries? Where would they find you guys?
Well, we've got our website, which is www.revolve.co.za. That's really the best place. We've got a Facebook page as well, which is Revolve Energy. That is, there are inquiry forms, there are full catalogs, and everything can be found there.
And you only do the batteries. Obviously, if someone's looking at a brand new installation of a power system for the house or the business, there's a lot more besides. I mean, you need a charging mechanism, you need a inverter to take it to 220 volts. There's a lot of other bits and pieces that need to be done. You guys don't do that. You work with other people who do that type of stuff or not?
We do. And we have very recently, we're about to launch a brand new product where let's think about your bar fridge which fits under a counter. Now let's think about a full-size single door refrigerator, and within that format, all self-contained, there is the inverter which is solar capable and grid capable, two batteries, 10 kilowatt hours of backup, and all that needs to be connected is two AC cables, one for the AC coming in, for the power coming in from the grid, and one for the power going out into the DB board. What that does is all in one unit and reduces the installation time down to about an hour as opposed to 3 or 4 hours when you're starting to put all the components together. It's pre-tested, pre-configured, all in our factories. So that makes a very big difference as well. That's just coming out now.
And the advantage of something like that would be, without any solar or anything, is that you would simply put this unit between your power supply that comes in and the power supply going out. But you did mention one thing. You wouldn't run your entire house off this unit, would you?
No, in most circumstances not. The power-hungry things like geysers and stoves, it's just not practical to run it off batteries. We have customers who just say, you know what, I couldn't be bothered. Sell me enough battery that I can do it. Yeah, exactly. But the average person, what you do is just split up the DB board between critical and non-critical loads, and that provides you with...
And then you put your solution on the non-critical load with a switch as soon as the power goes off to switch it on.
No, we put ours on the critical loads. So we would say that a stove and a geyser is not critical. Yeah.
So no geysers and no stoves and very few heaters.
Correct, yes, correct.
Okay,
and you run all the plugs and the lights in the house and your TVs and Wi-Fi and everything that you need.
And the cost comparison to a petrol or a diesel generator for similar sort of power, is that a comparison that's fair?
Upfront cost is, the cost of, upfront cost of a generator is significantly cheaper than putting batteries in. But the 10-year cost of ownership turns it around after about 7 years. You'll find that the batteries are significantly cheaper. There's no servicing. There's no noise. There's no, you know, the pollution, etc. that goes with one of these generators. But, you know, for now, purchasing the CapEx of buying a generator is still cheaper, but it depends on what you want in your life, and you're happy to have the belching fumes.
I like that. Yeah, the hum of the African evening is something that we're starting to get used to, which is a little unfortunate, but it's a real thing. And the last thing that I'd really like, because our time, as I said, flies, because this is how it works. For example, would this be the sort of unit that you could actually use all the batteries on a full-time basis? In other words, you split your load. Geysers and all heavy drawing electrical things can sit on normal line ESCOM type loads, and everything else is consistently and always powered through the battery setup.
Absolutely. There's no reason not to do it. The configuration of the circuits is done quite easily by installers nowadays and that sort of stuff. And absolutely, it can quite happily run your critical loads in the house on a permanent basis. And to be honest, taking you off grid starts to become a really viable proposition with the second life solution.
That's really, really interesting. And then obviously the discussion around solar, which is for a whole nother thing, comes into it, because obviously if you're storing the energy from Eskom, you're not saving any money on that leg.
Correct. Exactly. Unless you're on a different time of use, and so you can charge it when the tariffs are low and use the electricity when the tariffs, use the battery power when the tariffs are high. That does work, but mostly that only works in an industrial environment and not in a residential environment.
So lots of complexity, but I'm sure if they go to your website, they can find out more about this. And it sounds like a great idea. Take a high-quality second-hand battery and repurpose it. Smart.
Thank you very much, yes, Stephen. Exactly. So everything is there. They can contact us, and if it gets to the installations, we have a recommended list of installers. Which we would then recommend, depending on the area, and they would then take them through the whole lot to make sure that the installation gets done correctly.
Well, brilliant, Phil. Thanks so much for joining us here on Tech Talk Cafe, and we will stay in touch and watch what happens with all these batteries.
Thank you very much, Stephen, and thank you to your listeners for having me today. I really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Great. Thanks. Hi,